Something which not even Captain Athrawus's hearing could have quite called a sound swept through the listening parishioners as the archbishop's words recalled the invasion attempt which had cost them the life of a king. And as his use of the ecclesiastical "we" emphasized that he truly was speaking ex cathedra, formally proclaiming the official, legal, and binding doctrine and policy of his archbishopric. "Change is something which must be approached cautiously," Stainer continued, "and change, solely for the sake of change, must be avoided. Yet even Mother Church's Office of Inquisition has recognized in the past that there are times when change cannot be avoided. Grand Vicar Thomas's writ of instruction on obedience and faith established almost 5 centuries ago that there are times when attempts to deny or evade the consequences of necessary change become in themselves sin. This is such a time." The stillness when he paused was absolute. What had been a state of tension had become a breathless, totally concentrated focus on Archbishop Michael. One or two heads twitched, as if their owners were tempted to look up at the royal box instead of at the archbishop, but no one did. Captain Athrawus suspected that it would have been physically impossible for anyone to actually look away from Stainer at this moment. "My children." The archbishop shook his head gently, his smile sad. "We fully realize that many of you are concerned, possibly even angered, by the vestments we wear, the priestly office to which we have been summoned. We cannot find it in our hearts to blame any of you for that. Nonetheless, we believe what is transpiring in Corus today is the will of God, that God himself has called us to this office. Not because of any special ability, eloquence, or grace which we might, as any mortal, possess, but because it is his will and intent to put his house here on safe hold and in the hearts of his children, our hearts, into order. This is a day of great grief and sorrow for all of us, but it must also be a day of renewal and rebirth. A day in which we, all of us, every man and woman among us, reaffirm that which is true and just and good, and reclaim those things from those who would profane them. We must do that without succumbing to the temptations of power, without listening to the voice of self-interest, or tainting ourselves with hatred or a lust for revenge. We must act calmly, deliberately, with due respect and reverence for the offices and institutions of Mother Church. But, above all, we must act. Every member of his audience hung upon the archbishop's every word, yet Captain Athrawes saw no lessening of their tension, no relief, despite Stainer's calm, rational, almost soothing tones. "My children, we have, with King Caleb's permission, approval, and support, brought before you today the text of our first official message to the Grand Vicar and to the Council of Vicars. We would not have it appear that we have hidden in the shadows, concealed from you any aspect of what we do here and why. You are God's children. You have the right to know what those who have been entrusted with the responsibility of caring for your immortal souls have been called to do by the demands of those pastoral responsibilities." The archbishop held out his hand, and one of the other bishops rose. He crossed to the archbishop's throne and laid an ornately sealed and signed document in that waiting hand. Ribbons, wax and metallic seals dangled from it, and the rustle of the thick, expensive parchment upon which it had been penned was loud in the stillness. Then he began to read. "To His Grace, Grand Vicar Eric, of his name the 17th, of his office the 83rd, steward and servant of God and of the Archangel Langhorne, who is, was, and will be God's deputy here on Safehold, from the Archbishop Michael Stainer, Shepherd of Corris, greetings in the name and brotherhood of God. The Archbishop's reading voice was as powerful and well-trained as his normal speaking tones. It was the sort of voice which could have taken the driest, least interesting of official documents and somehow made people realize those documents mattered. Not that it took any special talent to make that clear to these people on this day. "It is with the most bitter and profound regret," Stainer continued reading, "that we must inform your grace that recent events here in Corris have revealed to us a great evil which has infested God's church." The air in the cathedral stirred as if every single one of his listeners had inhaled abruptly and simultaneously.